Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everyone's having an absolutely terrific day. We're staying busy as always down here at Health Masters, getting your packages out as quickly as possible. And we thank you and appreciate your continued support of Health Masters. And how are you doing today, Ted?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely great. I tell you, this is the day the Lord hath made. I shall rejoice and I shall be glad in it. And I am just blessed to be here, blessed to have, I take it back. I have not yet prayed this morning. We had a bunch of stuff happen. A bunch of people showed up early this morning and I haven't prayed. So I will pray for you guys after the show today. But I tell you what, we talked about yesterday. We talked about marriages. And I've got a boatload of comments. I'm going to read a couple of them on the show today because I want you guys to realize that I do read your emails. I do read your texts. And some folks have even called me and asked me about the show yesterday. And it was a real nerve for a lot of people. Now, let me explain something to you. You know, the Rothschild banking cartel, the Sabatain Kambalis, the guy from that Sabatain Zevi from 1666, who started a movement to create as much evil in the world as he possibly could to try to bring in their Messiah. It was a sect of Judaism that was basically disowned by the mainstream Judaism and basically told them they were all nuts. Even the Jews said these guys were nuts. And that they wanted to make everything as evil as they possibly could. And we're going to talk about that for just a second. And this group of people then brought in us. Sabatain Zevi ended up dying. And the guy by the name of Jacob Frank took his mantle over, and he's the one who brought the Rothschilds into this movement. And it's all it is a continuation of the Dark Ages of the worship of Baal, Moloch, Asherah, and the Druids. And we've talked about this in detail, so I'm not going to do that right now. So this is the group of people who then started the Frankfurt School that have pushed this agenda for the destruction of the American family and the destruction of marriage in the United States. Very, very important that we always keep the pressure on who did this and who continues to do it. Now is Hollywood doing it? You know, you've got this, you know, 5-foot-tall girl who basically is beating up 7-foot-tall men who weigh 300 pounds, and you're like, wait a minute, I've been in the ring before. That's why they have weight classes in wrestling and fighting. You don't do that. Nobody does that. It's impossible. You can't do that. It doesn't matter what your skill set is. Unless the little person has a gun, it doesn't work. And so where they're constantly trying to change the image of femininity and masculinity and men and women and relationships, and they're trying to cause an inversion. I did a show on this about a month ago now. You guys have got to hear that show. It's called Inversion. In fact, I may play that again. It was just a show that talked in detail about who's doing this. Now, I have a friend of mine in Central Florida I've known for over 20 years, and he wrote me a text yesterday. He's a show listener, contributor to the show. And he told me, he goes, Wednesday's show on the child being the idol and the wife being the high priestess is so true, especially when it comes to male children, and almost supplant the father as the man of the woman's life. In other words, the child becomes the idol and replaces the husband. We talked about this in depth yesterday. And it's something, you know, in a marriage that you guys have to work out from a Christian standpoint. I'm not going to tell you how to fix all this stuff. You guys have to pray about this and work together through the Holy Spirit to get it done. He goes on to say, almost to the point of worship, which of course the wife becomes the high priestess of the wife, and she lives her life vicariously through the son or daughter, overemphasizing the child's strength while chastising the father for pointing out the child's weaknesses that need to be tweaked. In other words, when discipline is needed, the child runs to mom to temper dad's discipline, the wife being the emotional thinker, the man being the logical thinker, questions the father. Because aren't you going to be too hard on the Johnny argument? This ensues the man who has a choice to win the argument, lose the war, let little Johnny be a brat. If the man relents because he knows he exerts his will, then he'll get no sex this weekend. Now I'm getting real personal with you guys today. Or maybe none for weeks or months. Sex becomes an afterthought after the kids, after their game, after their friends come over, after their recital, after some other time. Then basically you're cut down to several times a month having sex with your wife. And basically, you know, you're told all you think about is sex, or you're looked at as a pervert. Okay, and when you see a Christian marriage counselor at your church, or a pansy pastor who's been cut off by his wife, also, they're telling you that you're being selfish. However, if you're madly in love with your really hot wife and you tell her how beautiful she is and you're not able to enjoy her body, it's horrible. So he goes on to say that, but I believe this is the Zionist plan to destroy the nuclear family, which this is exactly what it is. Now, I had a lady contact me too, and she wrote me a text, sent me a text, and she said, 100% agree with your perspective of a good marriage. Ephesians 5 and 1 Peter 3 support your viewpoint. Wives and husbands should read the whole chapters, not just a few verses. Sounds like you and Sharon have a very loving relationship. I'm very happy for your strong faith and commitment to the Lord and your family. Now, let me just share here with you guys real quick, because this is a real hot button yesterday, and I didn't expect to get the response that I did on this. And if you missed the show yesterday, go ahead and listen to it. I understand that with women, sometimes it's necessary for a husband and a wife to work outside of the home, each have a job, or work together in a business, just in order to pay the bills. I got that. I mean, you know, Sharon worked with me in Health Masters for years and years and years and years for the first 20 years of our marriage. And we've been married over 30 now. So I know what that's like when you're working 60, 70, 80, 100 hours a week each, and how tired and fatigued you get. I got all that. But we also need to realize that it's because of the Federal Reserve Bank and the destruction of the dollar this has happened. Because our dollar now buys 3 cents what a dollar would buy 100 years ago. And this is the problem that we've run into. And then we're programmed by Hollywood to get a new vehicle on a regular basis, to sell a house and get a bigger house, to basically, you know, wear the designer shoes, wear the designer clothes. And if any of you guys know me, you know that is not me. I don't do that. I kind of walk around in a t-shirt and shorts all the time and could care less. And I've got an old pair of Birkenstocks that need to be resold because I like the shoes. They're really, really comfortable and they're good on my feet. So I don't care about that. I've got friends of mine who basically live in multi-million dollar homes with trophy wives who are stressed out all the time trying to pay the bills. I mean, pulling their hair out because they're so stressed out, drinking like fish because they become alcoholics from the stress. Who, by the way, claim to be Christians. And, you know, as I see all of this stuff, and I'm like, you know, is it really worth that? You know, is it really worth having the big house? Is it really worth having the Escalade? Is it really worth having a brand new pickup truck? Is it really worth joining the country club? Is it really worth spending all this money all the time and having to work all the time in order to pay the bills? You got to think through that, because all of that stuff puts stress on marriages. I know in the past, I'd get myself into debt, you know, way back in the, we first got married and I had to get something or buy something for the business, and I'd get all stressed out because, hey, I've got to make these payments every month. And Sharon says, man, you're a lot easier to get along with when you don't have to deal with all this debt. That's true, because remember, the debt elevates cortisol, and the cortisol is a stress hormone, and it makes you irritable. And so it's really important, guys and ladies, listen to me. Don't buy things you don't need with money you don't have to impress people you don't know. Don't do that. Please, you know, I don't know how else to ask you. You know, just think through it. It doesn't matter what the neighbor has. This is one of the things I hate about Facebook. And this is why I've never been on Facebook. It's like a show and tell. You know, people, oh, look at this big screen TV I got. Oh, look at this new car I got. Oh, look at all this stuff. You know, and you're like, wait a minute. Do you own that stuff or do you have it all financed? I mean, what the heck, man? Are you trying to make everybody feel like they're not as good as you because you have all this stuff? You gotta stay away from friends like that. And if they start doing that to you, just hit the little delete button on their contact and just let them have fun with whatever they want to do, but not have to show you all that stuff. And the same thing is true with marriages. Well, let's talk about the physical relationship of a marriage real quick. You know, if the wife is exhausted or if she's been sick or she's got a cold or whatever, you know, husbands, you kind of need to leave her alone for a bit until she gets her energy back. Yeah, I just said that. I mean, and same thing with women. If your husband's exhausted, you kind of leave him alone. Now, the problem that you run into with that is, this has to be mutually agreed upon. You have to understand this has to be mutually agreed upon. Now, if you don't, then when it happens, you create resentment. And then guys end up looking at porn. A lot of women end up looking at porn. And, you know, and they get addicted to porn. And then they no longer go to the wife or to the husband. They go to the porn. And this is what they – and again, the same people who brought us to Frankfurt School brought us to pornography. I'm going to say something, and it's going to sound really weird to you guys, because I'm not a fan of Hitler. I'm not. But, you know, one of the things that they were always accusing him of is book burning. But the thing that you don't understand, they don't tell you what books they were burning. They were burning subversive literature. They were burning pornography. They were burning all of the stuff that degraded the German people. That's what they were burning. They weren't burning, you know, classics. They weren't doing that. They were burning – the pornography and all the sick stuff that was out there, the communist stuff, the stuff that was promoting all of this weird stuff. And so, you know, so to me, I always tell folks, you know, the people who brought us to pornography are the same people who took down Building 7. That's about as simple as it gets. And they know that with a man, once you trigger his nucleus accumbens, you know, through pornography, through photographs, through anything like that, you know, he feels as though he needs to go have sex. And the problem with all of this stuff is that, you know, women understand their husband has physical needs, and they have to be having relations with him on a regular basis. And that's, as far as I'm concerned, that's two or three times a week. Now, when you're younger, maybe more, but it may be, when you're older, maybe less. But it has to be something, you know, and don't be, I have melancholy friends of mine. In fact, the one I was talking about yesterday, they basically adopted a child, and they schedule in when they're going to have sex. They schedule it. And then they say, okay, we're going to have sex this afternoon, that day, or whatever, you know, 2 weeks down the road, 3 weeks down the road, every month, once a month, once every 2 months. And I'm like, wait a minute. You know, where's the spontaneity in that? That seems kind of weird. But guys, it's so important that you have a relationship that's going to be loving and caring. And it's like Austin said, it's 100% each direction. That's what you have to do. You have to give that, you have to give 100% to each person all of the time. And then you're going to have a great marriage. But the reality is the world doesn't teach this. What the world is teaching is basically is just all of this perversion, and you know, and wife swapping, and all of the sick stuff, the stuff that Roger Stone was involved in. That's why I told you guys before, I'm not a fan of Roger Stone. I'm sorry that they arrested him in the middle of the night. I think that was completely uncalled for. But I mean, you know, and you don't want to hang out with people like that. You know, if they're wife swappers and swingers or whatever you want to call them, that they're going to try to get you and your wife involved in this. I've got another friend of mine who's a radio show personality, and he's a big Hollywood insider, and he told me that one of the top people that was in that movie Tombstone, that I'm not going to give you any names, way back when with Kurt Russell, and it wasn't Kurt Russell, but one of the top actors in that show actually came to him one time and wanted to do a wife swap. And you're like, what the heck are you talking about this for? I'm telling you, this stuff is everywhere. And you can't hang out with these people. You can't associate with them. When people do weird stuff like that, you can't send them texts or emails or even talk to them. You just got to say, I got to go. And you got to step away and leave them alone. Guys, it's so important to understand that, because the world is full of perversion and sickness, because Lucifer is the god of this age. The Bible tells us that. This is the god of this age is blinded the hearts and the minds. They cannot see and believe the truth. With that energy field that we've talked about before. You can say, well, okay, Ted, it can't be that bad. Okay, well, here, let's just go ahead and let's just look at the Summit news for this morning. New sexual fetish. Couples are now getting pregnant and having multiple abortions because the girlfriend enjoys having the abortion. Now, are you hearing what I just said? This is a new sexual fetish has emerged where couples repeatedly get pregnant and repeatedly have multiple abortions. I mean, every single day we get further from God's light. I mean, you know, this is some sick stuff. And, you know, I was watching a news feed one time with Alex Jones, and they were actually interviewing people who are pro-abortion. And they were, like, relishing in the abortion itself, like it was some type of sacrifice, some type of spiritual encounter, the killing of the child. And this is how twisted the society has gotten. This is from the Frankfurt School. This is from the guys who took Building 7. All of this stuff is. The delusion of the marital family, the Christian family, the delusion of all of this stuff, the atavistic hatred of Christianity. All of this is brought to us by the same exact people. And we need to understand that's who we need to look at. Now, I'm not going to read you this. I'll read you one quote. In the last 10 years in our relationships, we've done 7 abortions. My girlfriend is pregnant again with another little girl, he adds. And he's talking about how much she enjoys doing the abortion. I mean, you guys think I'm not making this stuff up. This is what happens. She goes, I know this is fetish. My girlfriend and me have the same fetish. My girlfriend enjoys having pregnancies, and then she enjoys the abortion. Her preferred date to abort is between 20 and 24 weeks. I enjoy making her pregnant, and I enjoy the time of her pregnancy. I mean, guys, you can't make this crap up. This is what happens when you dissolve the Christian family. This is what happens when you go to Genesis chapter 6, when every thought of every man is evil all the time. This is the perversion that we're having in the United States of America right now. Killing of these children for fun, because it's a fetish and they enjoy it. And then the body parts get sold, like out on the open market. You know, they bid for the body parts. It's insane. It turns into a $1 billion industry for dead aborted baby parts. I mean, what are we on, the cattle market? Are we bidding for quarters and hindquarters? Are we trying to figure out how much this flank steak's worth? What the heck? This is where it goes. And it all starts with the dissolution of the way God set up the marital relationship and the Christian family. And the problem, like my friend said in the text he sent me, is the pansies in the pulpit. They won't talk to you about this stuff. There's no church that I know of that will tell you what I told you this morning from the pulpit. There aren't any. You say, well, why won't they tell us this stuff? Because it makes people angry. And they stop giving money to the church. And they move on. They go to another church to hear what their itching ears want to hear. The Spirit says in latter times some will abandon faith. The Spirit says in latter times some will abandon the faith, and follow the deceiving spirits and things taught by liars. Such teaching come through hypocritical liars whose conscience has been seared with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry. This is what they do. They have this sexual stuff going on all of the time. Guys, listen to me. We've got to be so careful. That's why the Bible says flee from this stuff. You got to stay away from it, guys. Everybody has thoughts they shouldn't have. That's just the way it is. But that doesn't make that a sin. It's when you act out on it. Now, you should just cast those thoughts away and not have to be dwelling on them. Because, guys, if you start thinking about it and talking about it, you're going to bring it to pass. You're going to engage in this stuff. But, again, stay away from these sickos. Stay away from these people who want to do this stuff. You know, I mean, years ago, oh, gosh, I'm getting personal with you guys again. This is before I was even saved. I was dating a girl from junior college. And we were up in North Carolina, up here in the mountains, hiking. And we met another couple. I'll give you the names. I don't remember their last names. They weren't married. The guy's name was Greg, and his girlfriend was Allison. And this is before I even got saved. And all of a sudden, he says, why don't we, you know, do a swap? And I'm like, what are you talking about, dude? Are you like some kind of pervert? He goes, oh, no, man, it'll be fine. I said, no, it won't be fun. I don't do stuff like that. Here I am as a non-Christian, knowing in my spirit still that what he was asking me to do was wrong. You're not going to have any diseases or things you can get from all of this stuff? So it happened to me personally, and it happened to me over 40 years ago. This isn't something that's odd. It happens all the time. So, guys, you've got to stay. That's why I have such a disdain for Roger Stone. I can't believe people want to do stuff like this and continually engage in it. Austin and I know of another guy in Central Florida. He basically whored his wife out. Whored her out. You think, well, why would he do that? Because he's a lowlife. Don't associate with people who want to do stuff like this. And now some of you going, well, I've done stuff like that in the past. Okay, if you're born again and you're a Christian, you can walk away from all that stuff. And you can just say, I'm not going to, it's covered under the blood of Christ. You have forgiveness. But guys, it doesn't mean we're supposed to continually live in that type of environment. It gets really, really nasty out there, guys. And you know, and I'll tell you what, a lot of you don't know about the real side of humanity that's just nasty and dark, and it's best you never know. But guys, if you get to see it and get involved in it, get away from it as quick as you can. Austin, what do you think?
Yeah, bud. I mean, that was some rough stuff right there, but you're absolutely right. I mean, it's really, I mean, it almost made me nauseous when you started bringing that up. But I mean, the aspect of it is when we start having a generation and a populace to where that type of behavior is okay, and having, you know, 7 recreational abortions is okay, and that's just something that's fun and enjoyable. I mean, that's a pretty demented, sadistic lifestyle, to be honest with you right now. That's sick, dude. And I mean, so the fact that, I mean, that's even making the media, troubles me even more, that they're trying to normalize that behavior, because that's what all this is. That's what it continually is that we see with the media. They constantly are trying to put information out there. They're constantly trying to normalize things. They're constantly trying to come out and push the narrative that they want. That's why they talk about a lot of these topics all the time. That's why they bring a lot of these topics up. That's why they promote these topics, because they want people to think it's normal. The problem is, majority of people are too scared nowadays to say, that's not normal. That's not okay. That's not Christian, as we talk about all the time on the show with the political correctness. Most people are too afraid to call that out and say, no, it's not okay to continually have recreational abortions because it's fun. It's not okay to do any of them. But like Dad said, if you've done one in the past and you've made a mistake, that's what grace is there for. But golly, you're spitting in God's face doing that on a regular basis over and over and over and over and over and over and over again recreationally, thinking that's fun and that's cool. That's a whole nother topic. Let me change subjects here before I get any further on that. New article that just came out. This is troubling. This kind of shows you the aspect of what we have going on right now with a lot of the financial institutions. A payroll company called MyPayrollHR, very big national payroll company, closed out of nowhere, and tens of thousands of employees from 4,000 different companies across the country had their paychecks withdrawn out of their account overnight, totaling almost $35 million. It is not clear where the deducted money has even gone. The FBI is looking into it. The sudden closure of the payroll company that caused almost $35 million in paychecks to vanish from personal bank accounts of workers across the country has caught the eye of the FBI. The payroll service company, My Payroll HR, based out of Clifton Park, New York, shut down without warning last week. And what's crazy about this is a lot of individuals had the payroll checks amount deducted, some in cases numerous times, leaving negative bank account balances, of course, causing enormous fees. And, you know, you get a bank account, you start having negative account balances, and you get tagged with all these fees and interest and all kinds of stuff. But this is really crazy that, I mean, we have a payroll company out of nowhere that issued payroll checks, $35 million, and all of a sudden they basically got canceled. What happened? They stopped payment on them as soon as they hit the accounts, and people started spending the money, and they got withdrawn. So this is just something to kind of be aware of what we're starting to see more and more. What happened with this is not clear yet. I have no idea. Again, the FBI is looking into it. They have no idea where the money even went. We even have a new poll that was released by the Langer Research Associates, and they said now that 60% of the population in the poll now see a recession as very or somewhat likely in the next year. What's crazy about this is the same similar poll was done back in 2007, and at that point in time, that poll was 69%. So we're starting to see that I think some of the population is starting to realize and see the writing on the wall. Ironically, though, at the same time, U.S. consumers are continually piling up debt at a frightening pace. According to the same poll, they said total revolving credit shot up at 11.25% annual pace during the month of July. According to the Federal Reserve's Consumer Credit Tracker, revolving credit increased at an annualized rate of 11.25% in July, the most recent month for which data is available. In terms of a revolving debt, Matt Schultz, Chief Industry Analysis at CompareCard, says, we see spikes like this fairly often, but they don't jump by double digits like this. Typically, a big jump occurs around the holidays, not in July. So it kind of ties back into what Dad was talking about towards the beginning of it. Be very careful how much debt you're taking on right now. If you're looking at, you know, recreationally spending something or taking on a large amount of debt for a toy, like a side-by-side or a boat or a four-wheeler, probably something to hold off on right now. I learned this a lot when I was younger, and Dad always told me this. You know, I made the mistake a few times and had to dig out of a few toys. Is don't finance toys. Don't finance stuff in most cases unless you're using them for work or commute or business. I mean, if you have a job and you're trying to get a machine or equipment or a plant running and you got to finance something and leverage it for the business to make money, that's a different story. But going out and financing a $150,000 boat for 144 months doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And I've seen numerous people do that on a regular basis. And, you know, everybody just goes, oh, it's just another payment, just another payment. I'll finance a side-by-side. I'll finance a four-wheeler. I'll finance a boat. And, you know, before long, you got thousands of dollars a month, every single month, in revolving credit payments that you're paying for. The problem that nobody tells you, especially is the first time you start getting involved in all that, most of those toys have horrible resale value. That's why you see a lot of these boats, say, like a Yellowfin, will run $300,000 to $350,000 brand new if you get one of the big ones with the big motors on it. And then you turn around and you look at one of 2015, 2016 model, you can pick a used one up for $150, $175. You know, you're talking half the amount of money in 2 to 3 years. Same thing with side-by-side, same thing with four-wheelers, same thing with high-end cars. I mean, I had a buddy a while back ago, they ended up buying an Escalade, you know, and they lost a huge amount of money on it. And somebody else tried to buy a used one, they lost a huge amount of money on it. When you start going into these high-end exotic vehicles and these exotic toys, there's a very, very niche market for. You really need to make sure if that's something that you really want to buy, you really need to be able to buy cash for it. And at that point in time, if you have the cash and you want to buy it and you can lose the money on it, it's really not a good financial decision, but at the end of the day, it's still a liquid asset. If you got to dump it and you can dump it and you can get cash out of it, you can dump it. But just something to look at now. When you see payroll companies like this, hitting 4,000 companies with stop payments on $35 million in checks, that's pretty creepy. So just something to be aware of. Also, too, in other health news, I wanted to bring this up because I see still so many people eat fried foods, and a lot of people think fried foods, the only effect they have is, you know, on their cholesterol. They think, oh, you know, it's going to plug my arteries, so I'm not going to eat a whole lot of it, but, you know, I may eat it sometimes. Well, if you guys ever hang around me, I pretty much try to avoid fried foods at all costs. I mean, I don't eat fried foods, I'll be honest with you. I know down the South, that's like, people will, you know, spit on you. You talk about not eating fried food, but I deal with it down here. People know how I am. Well, a new study that has come out from the Cancer Prevention Research found that mice with breast cancer who consumed reheated cooking oil had an incredibly sharp rise in metastatic lung tumor formation. The mice had been fed a low-fat diet for a week prior to being given the oils. Soybean oil was used in the study because it's one of the most popular choices for frying food in the restaurant industry. Now, I'm going to stop right there before I go any further in the study. You guys will probably know what I'm about to say. Soybean oil is one of the most common vegetable oils that companies use in fryers. Soybean oil, 99% of the time, is derived from GMO soybeans solely. Rarely will you find fully organic, non-GMO soybean oil. You can find it, but I can promise you, no McDonald's, no Taco Bell, no Chick-fil-A, nobody is using organic, non-GMO soybean oil in their fryers because it is incredibly expensive and very hard to find. Let me go further into this. 20 days after being injected with tumor cells, the mice who had eaten the reheated soybean oil noted a tumor growth rate that was 4 times higher than those who simply ate fresh oil. They also had twice as many lung tumors, and their tumors were more invasive and aggressive than those who consumed fresh oil. Reheating vegetable oil releases high amounts of acrolein, a toxin that has been linked to heart disease and neurological disorders. Unfortunately, almost all restaurants deep fry food using vegetable oils like soybean oil, which was used in the study, and almost all of them reuse it multiple times in order to save money and make the operations more efficient. Another previous study published in the Journal of the Prostate revealed that regular consumption of fried foods and deep fried foods raises a man's risk of prostate cancer, particularly the more aggressive varieties of the illness. In that study, researchers tied eating foods like French fries, donuts, fried fish, and fried chicken more than once a week to a higher risk of prostate cancer compared to those who ate foods less than once per month. In fact, eating these foods at least once per week raised the risk of prostate cancer anywhere from 30 to 37% in the study, even after controlling for factors like body mass index, age, family history of prostate cancer, and race. Avoiding vegetable oils in all types of cooking, not just frying, as far as when it comes to a lot of these frying foods, instead try using coconut oil, avocado oil, or olive oil. I'm a huge proponent of avocado oil. I love avocado oil. And stay away from these unhealthy oils such as canola oil, soybean oil, corn oil, sunflower, and cottonseed oil. But when you see studies like this and they talk about the level of cancer rate almost quadrupling from eating the same oil, just eating refried oil like they did in this study, it really shows you that you want to stay away from this stuff. And I know, again, a lot of people love their fried foods and they like their fried chicken and they like their fried chicken fingers and all that. I get that. But guys, if you're really starting to work on your health, or especially if you have eaten this stuff excessively in the past and you're trying to get back in shape and you're trying to get healthy again, or you're trying to beat cancer, or you've already beaten cancer and you're trying to stay healthy continually, it is crucial you stay away from this stuff, because Dad said it before and I'm going to say it again. If you continually keep doing the same thing that you were doing when you got cancer, you got an illness, why do you think anything else is going to change again after you beat it? Meaning, if you ate fried chicken and you ate diet soda and you ate fried fish and French fries on a regular basis and you came down with a horrible illness, you change your diet, you beat it, you're healthy again, and you go back to eating that exact same diet that you ate ate before you got sick, why do you expect any different results than what you got the first time? So I just wanted to bring that up because we haven't talked about fried foods in a while. I always get a lot of flack from it because people can't stand it when I bring that topic up. But I had to bring this article up, Dad, because it showed you so directly how unbelievably toxic the reheated fried vegetable oils are at a lot of these restaurants.
You know, Austin, back in the 70s, I worked at a place called Burger Queen. You know, it sounds kind of weird now, Burger Queen. And they had a fryer. They're out of business now. And they had a fryer that I worked there for several months, and I never saw them change the oil one time. And they were cooking French fries and apple pies and all that fryer, and they never, ever changed the oil. I mean, never. I mean, they had a strainer. They would strain it. They would basically come in and they would, you know, get the junk out of it and just filter it and put it back into it again. And the problem is you create all these carcinogens in that oil. And that's why, first thing my wife and I ask them, you know, we go to a grocery store, or hell, to a restaurant, and she wants to get some onion rings or whatever. And I'm like, okay, well, let's ask them what they fry them in. And almost invariably, it's canola oil or soybean oil. I mean, like, you know, with that immediately we say no. But every once in a while, we'll find them in peanut oil. We don't have peanut allergies, and that's okay. And we may eat one or two or have a serving or split it or whatever. But very rarely, I mean, we're talking like once a year because you can't find them clean. They simply aren't clean. And so that's why it's so important to ask what they fry them in and how often do they change the oil. And chances are they don't change the oil very often because they don't really want to do that because they got to pour the oil out and have to deal with all the nasty oil. So it's a major, major, major mess. In fact, it's causing a lot of health problems. Remember, the same guys that have brought us all of these hydrogenated oils and trans fats and chemicals in our diet are the same guys who took down Building 7. You think, well, it can't be that simple. No, it really is that simple, guys. 95% of the majority of the corporations in this country, including the media, are owned by just a certain group of people. By the way, medical debt is crushing many Americans. Is the healthcare system on the verge of collapse? And, it's gotten pretty bad. Healthcare expenses can be a massive burden for many Americans, and sometimes it can be financially devastating. A new report from the Kaiser Health News revealed some shocking examples of just how bad things can get for some people. It says, the UVA has ruined us. The healthcare system sues thousands of patients, seizing paychecks and claiming homes. In other words, they didn't pay their bills, so they got their paychecks seized and they had their homes seized. It covers the cases of individuals who are dealing with serious financial hardship due to the University of Virginia Healthcare's aggressive collection practices. The article begins with the story of Heather Waldron, who required emergency surgery in 2017. She believed she had insurance at the time, and it wasn't until after the hospitalization that she learned a computer error involving the healthcare government website had elapsed her coverage. The UAB health system slapped Waldron with a lawsuit and a lien on her home to recoup the $164,000 in charges, leading to serious financial hardship. She's now on food stamps and talking to bankruptcy lawyers. A bank began foreclosure proceedings in August on the house that she shared with her family. The home will be sold off to pay the mortgage. I mean, unbelievable. She expects the UVA to take whatever is left. The $164,000 bill to Heather Waldron for intestinal surgery was more than twice what a commercial insurance would have paid for her care, according to the benefits firm Well Rhythms, which analyzed the bill for Kaiser's Health News. Now, guys, what they're saying here is this. When you go into a hospital, and this lady had $164,000 in health costs, you know, hospitalization costs, that had an insurance company pay to, they'd only paid half of that, and they'd have been okay with it. They'd pay like $80,000. And guys, I saw this was true. Years ago, Austin was on a dirt bike, which I don't recommend any kids ever have dirt bikes, and he turned his ankle backwards, broke his foot. And we had health insurance, and the bill was like $38,000. And the deductible was like $10,000. So I had to pay like $6,500. And the deductible and the insurance company didn't pay anything. They negotiated that over $30,000 bill down to over $6,000, which was underneath my deductible. So I had to pay all of it. I had to pay the entire bill for this surgery, which fixed his ankle, which was emergency surgery. It had to be done. Did a great job on the surgery. The surgeon did. But the reality is if we had not had the insurance, it would have cost us $35,000, or we'd have had to try to negotiate it with it. Now, you know, I know that the Adventist Church has a church over there. It's called Florida Hospital. They allow you to pay the same thing in most cases that the insurance company would have paid if you don't have insurance. They're really good about that kind of stuff. But be very careful on what hospitals you go to. in the event that you don't have insurance, because this bill can get really, really high. Like with the case of this lady in Virginia, they're seizing her home, garnishing her paychecks and anything else, which is going to force her into bankruptcy. And this is a major problem that people have. And again, these same insurance companies are controlled by the groups that pretty much control everything. Another study says that there's a direct link between gut health and muscle strength. I thought this was really interesting. It says the microorganisms living in the intestines could help with muscle growth and function, opening new doors of interventions for age-related skeletal muscle loss, an international research team found out of Singapore. Through a series of strength and movement-related exercises conducted on mice, the team compromising researchers from Singapore, Sweden, Switzerland, France, the UK, found that mice with gut microbes had stronger skeletal muscles that could produce more energy when compared to mice without any gut microbes, known as germ-free mice. Now, guys, I know this is a rat study, and you know, it's kind of hard to push it onto humans, but guys, the intestinal tract in our body is so important because it really creates the, how should I say, the start of your health. If your gut's messed up, if you've got like inflammatory bowel disease, or you've got Crohn's disease, or you've got a variety of other things like spastic colon, all these different types of things, and your gut's unhealthy, and your microflora are messed up, it really creates a problem because these microflora also produce different nutrients for the body to absorb. And when you don't have these flora, you can't produce these nutrients. And the whole thing is tied together through an energy field in our body, which interconnects us through scalar waves. And so our body cells connect themselves to the brain with nerves and with also with scalar waves. I mean, our body is a synergistic organism that all works together to form the whole. And when you have one part like your gut that's messed up, it can really mess you up. That's why we have some of the best probiotics in the world. I mean, we've had one that's 300 billion. I mean, a lot of most come out, oh, we have a billion or we have 500 million. Ours is 300 billion for our max probiotic that we have. And so I use this stuff on a regular basis, and it keeps your gut healthy. And when you keep your gut healthy, you stay healthy. In fact, another study came out and said the diet change can quickly send inflammatory bowel disease into remission. Now, you know, you think to yourself, wow, I didn't know that. It says that people basically who have basically had all kinds of problems and they change their diet and go on an organic, non-GMO diet, they start getting a lot easier. They start recovering a lot more quickly. And we need to realize that there are certain things that you just need to avoid, like sugar, etc. And, you know, you need to be taking supplements, vitamin C, D3, K2, all of these on a regular basis, because there are a lot of foods out there that can really cause a lot of problems, you know, with the gut, especially when you start getting with GMO foods because of what happens with the glyphosate that's involved with the GMO foods. Years ago, I have to be really careful how I say this, so I've got so many listeners. I'll say this in a nice way. I had a lady come over to the house with her fiancé, and she was in her early 20s. So they were both in their early 20s. And I asked her how we started talking about her health, and she had inflammatory bowel disease. And I said, you know, that's really, in many cases, pretty easy to fix if you change your diet and start taking the proper supplements. And she goes, well, I've had this for 6 years since I was like in high school. And I'm like, well, it's got to be pretty debilitating. She goes, no, it's awful. And so I told her, I said, here, take this product and take this product, change this diet, this and this, and you should see results within 72 hours. And she goes, well, why will it happen so quickly? I said, well, the epithelial cells inside the intestinal tract, they get replaced like every 72 hours, especially in the stomach, because the acid in the stomach basically is very corrosive, and the cells have to constantly be replaced to make sure that, you know, you don't end up with an ulcer. And I said, so if you give your body the right nutrients for like 3 or 4 days, it'll really help. About 3 or 4 days later, her fiance calls me up. He goes, what the heck did you give her? She's like 90% better. And I said, well, it's because, you know, she's feeding her body the nutrients she needs. Well, they were engaged, and through the entire engagement process, this goes back to what we talked about at the beginning of the show, marriage, she took the supplements and was doing great, had gotten off her meds, was doing great. As soon as they got married, I mean, it wasn't a month after their marriage, she stopped taking the supplements and went back to her old diet, and the inflammatory bowel disease came back. And they ended up getting divorced several years later because she was sick all the time. And you say, why would somebody do that? Why would somebody, and this goes back to what Austin said a few minutes ago, why would somebody go back to eating the way they were eating, knowing that they had gotten sick from it to start with? You know, guys, I don't understand any of that. A lot of that has to do with self-confessions. A lot of it has to do with the fact that for, you know, 50,000 times a day for 6 years, she told herself how sick she was, and she had programmed her brain to want to be sick. I don't know. It goes into the psychological aspects of it. A lot of it has to do with self-esteem issues. A lot of it has to do with punishing other people, primarily her husband at this point. I don't know. I mean, I've seen it myself. I've seen it with, you know, in my offices. I've seen people come in my office who had cancer. They're working with their oncologist. They're working with me. They change their diet. Everything gets better. The cancer goes away. And all of a sudden they come back 2 years later and they've got cancer again. And they started eating the way they had eaten before they had the cancer. And I mean, I've seen it over and over like that. And then finally I realized, and this is going to sound really weird to you guys, some people would rather die or have disease than they would to change their diet. You think, well, gosh, that can't be true, Ted. Guys, I never thought it was true. But I've seen it so many times. One person wrote me a letter one time and said, it's easier to get somebody saved and get them to accept Jesus Christ than it is to get them to change their diet. And I'm like, well, I don't know about all that, but you know, I guess it could be. See, here's the thing, guys. When you program yourself from a very young childhood to eat a certain type of foods, like Austin said, fried foods, and then suddenly somebody tells you, wait a minute, you're going to get cancer from that, or you massively increase your risk of prostate cancer if you eat this, you're like, well, no, I'm not. My dad didn't have prostate cancer. My granddad didn't have prostate cancer. Why should I be concerned about prostate cancer? Well, your granddad was raised on a farm. Probably your dad was too. You're not, so you're being given processed foods your entire life. So your energy reserves and mineral reserves aren't near as high as granddaddy and grandpa was, or your grandfather or your father was. And so what ends up happening is you don't have the reserves to pull on, and your body starts to degenerate at a much earlier age. That's why baby boomers are now burying their children. You think, wait a minute, is that true? Yeah, that's true, guys. I had multiple friends who buried their kids in the last few years. And you think, well, why is that? Well, it's because our bodies are not as strong as they were 100 years ago. People say, well, we live longer than we did 100 years ago. Okay, by statistical manipulation, you know, we have the highest infant death rate of any industrialized country in the world. Right? We have more babies die, and more babies that have the problem pregnancies and all these things are terminated all the time. Well, these numbers never figure into population statistics. In other words, if you have a person who lives to be 100 years old and another person who dies at birth, the average life expectancy is 50 at that point. 50, you have 50 years of age, because half of that. So when you take all those babies out from all of the abortions that they've done and all of the infant mortality rates that we have in the United States, highest in the world, and you basically factor all of that back into the equation, we don't live any longer than we did 50 or 60 years ago. If not, if anything, we live less. And so this is what we need to understand. Plus, ask yourself a question. How many friends do you have or people you know that are suffering with senile dementia, have all kinds of health problems? You ask them a question, how they feel, and you get a 40-minute organ recital on how bad they are and how sick they are. And you go, what the heck? I didn't want to know that much. You know, but some people, that's what they want to talk about all the time. So those are the people, like I said earlier, like this one lady who was married to my friend, the young couple. You know, she told everybody how sick she was for 6 years. And after she got better, she had nothing else to talk about. And so her body and her brain was programmed from a psychological standpoint to discuss this stuff. And she did whatever she needed to get sick again. You think, well, Ted, that sounds nuts. I didn't say it didn't sound nuts. I just have seen it over and over and over again. It's kind of like a biological set point. You program your brain. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I always walk in divine health. You know, my footsteps are ordered by the Lord. Okay, I always feel great every single day. Thank you, Father. You program yourself by the words that you speak and by the confessions of your prayers. And what happens is, if you say, yesterday I'm walking into Lowe's, home, like the hardware store. I walked in there, and some guy was looking at stuff. I walked by and said, excuse me. And he said, how are you doing? I said, I'm doing great. I said, how are you doing? He goes, not too bad. And I turned around, looked at him. I said, man, are you okay? He goes, what do you mean? I said, you said you're doing bad. Before badly. I said, are you doing poorly? He goes, oh, I did say that, didn't I? I said, yeah, you did say that. He goes, oh, I meant I was doing great. And it was so funny, guys. It's like his brain shorted out for a second. You know, his eyes were even twitching. It's like, what the heck? What was I saying? Guys, whatever you speak about, you bring about it. So if you want to talk about how sick you are all the time, I thank God all the time that my hips are doing great, that my shoulder's doing great, that my energy's doing great, that my heart's doing great, that my cardiovascular system's doing great. And sometimes they're not perfect, all right? But the reality is, I'm not going to start speaking that negative stuff because nobody wants to hear it anyhow, and it doesn't help you to maintain health if you constantly talk about negative stuff. It just doesn't do it. By the way, another pastor has committed suicide. He's a megachurch pastor out of California. I want to just touch this for 1 second. He was a mental health advocate. He's Jared Wilson. He died by suicide yesterday. And, you know, and so it's just, you know, I don't know what he believes. I don't understand, you know, a lot of these megachurch pastors and their push-up sleeves and their tight jeans and holes in their pants. And I don't really understand a lot of that. But I do know that the suicide rate in the United States is at the highest level in 50 years. And a lot of this has to do with the ex-military guys that are coming in and killing themselves dozens every day. And we need to realize that, you know, we have to take a look at what's causing a lot of this. And what's causing a lot of it is the use of psychiatric drugs. Now I'm going to step on a few toes here. Prozac, Zoloft, Paxil, all of these things have suicide rates associated with them. Now, tens of millions of people in the United States, including ex-military, that are taking antidepressant drugs that have been linked to suicide. And many of these people are killing themselves now while they're on these drugs. I had my pastor friend last year do that. And guys, it's so important to realize that you need to look at these labels before you start taking these drugs and try natural prevention first. Try methylated B vitamins from Health Masters. Try Arcod liver oil, omega-3. Try 5-hydroxyl-tryptophan. You know, try all the different things that you know that'll help, that we've talked about so many times on this show. Even yesterday's show, we talked about this. And magnesium brain food. Try all of this stuff first if you get down a little bit. Don't let the doctor start throwing you on drugs that have been linked to suicide. It's like that one drug, Chantix, that you get off the cigarettes with, and it says one of the side effects are suicidal behaviors, and you may want to try to kill yourself. And you're like, well, shoot, man, I just want to kill myself. Okay? You may live another 30 years smoking. You may be dead next week on the drug. Think through what you're taking. Think through the drug. Look at all the articles that I've written and Harrison's written and Austin's written on healthmasters.com website. They're free articles. Put a topic in, hit the thing, look at them, and read them, and find out there's a lot of research that has been done and natural alternative to the use of these drugs. We added around 100 new stories and articles just this past summer that we've written and put into there. So, guys, please take advantage of the free resources that we have at healthmasters.com to learn more about all of this stuff. And if you want, you can go on YouTube or whatever. You can watch me on some of the videos that I've done on YouTube. But it's so important that you understand, before you go on psychotropic drugs, psychiatric drugs, try natural approaches first. Now, you can always try the psychiatric drug if the natural approach doesn't work. But remember, guys, keep your gut healthy and keep your body bathed in high-quality nutrients. It's amazing how quickly it can recover from almost every type of disease and ailment. Austin, what do you think?
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, that's one of the reasons why I'm always recommending to people that are having issues with maybe, you know, depression issues or, you know, trying to focus and stuff like that, issues like that, the magnesium brain food, because the magnesium is so crucial to overall brain health, and it's crucial to every aspect. And exactly what you said with these medications, you know, the psychiatric drugs are horrible too, but also a lot of these statins, I see more and more and more, even though we talk about it all the time, we have articles about it all the time, people going on these statin drugs. It's interesting. I had a rep in here for the actual postal service the other day, and he was taking care of one of our big contract accounts that we were doing. And he just had surgery, and also, too, on top of the surgery, the doctor said his cholesterol was slightly elevated. It was around 220, so they put him on statins. I'm having this conversation with him. And so I start talking to him about it. I'm like, dude, you said, you know, you really got to look at the side effects of those statins. You know, I'm not telling you to come off of them. Your doctor told you, but I'm telling you, you need to do some research on them. Oh, no, that's what they told me to go on, blah, blah, blah. Well, it's ironic. We're starting to talk again, and he forgot what we were talking about a few minutes before that. He goes, what were you talking about? And I said, we're looking at this and this amount and this amount and this amount and some of the internal stuff we're doing. He goes, oh, that's right. So we start talking again, and he hands me another sheet, and we sign off on it. He goes, well, if you need anything else to this, just make sure you email me or scan me this over so I see it. He goes, because once I leave here, I'm not going to remember the conversation we had. And I kind of looked at him with this funny look on my face, and I said, are you serious? He goes, well, I'm just so busy right now. And he goes, they got me on all these meds. He goes, I just don't remember anything. And I said, you do know one of the main side effects of statin drugs, cholesterol-lowering drugs, is memory loss. Yeah. But they said I have to go on it. And I said, okay. You know, that's I just leave it at that. I'm not going to keep arguing with you about it. When you get that pushback and that whole, well, this is what the doctor told me to do, so that's what I do. Okay, do what you want to do. If you enjoy not remembering what you said 5 minutes ago or what you ate for breakfast 30 minutes ago or what the conversation you had with your wife an hour ago, if that's okay with you, I mean, I'm not going to tell you otherwise if that's something you want to enjoy and deal with the rest of your life. But understand that a lot of these statin drugs, in most cases that I have seen, are completely and totally unnecessary and pushed solely by the pharmaceutical drug to put as many people on these drugs as they can, big pharma push through the AMA, and because this is what they want. I mean, we have an article on the website. They continually keep lowering the cholesterol rates. Now they've said, even in the article we posted 2 years ago, now they want to preemptively put you on statin drugs if you possibly may have a chance of having high cholesterol in the future. So your cholesterol's fine right now. Your heart's healthy right now. But we see a marker that may cause you to have high cholesterol or heart disease 20, 30 years down the road. So you need to be on a statin drug now to prevent this. And the sad part is a lot of people do it. And they wonder why they start losing muscle tissue and they can't hold muscle mass and they lose strength and they don't have a sex drive and they don't have no memory. And they can, because it says it right there in the insert. It tells you what they're doing to you when you take this drug. They tell you what's about to happen to you when you take this drug. Just majority of the people don't bother to look at the insert and do some research on it because the doctor tells them to go on it, so they go on it. So Dad's very, very accurate about this, and I'm really glad he brought that up. Also, too, in other news, this is something that we've seen in the mainstream media is continually keep telling everybody, oh, there are no migrants that are illegally coming in that are having any health issues. They're not coming down with any news. I've seen CNN pushes, too. Oh, it's fake news. They have these detention centers. There's no issues there. Well, now, the CDC now shows between September 2018 and August 2019, health authorities have identified over 1,000 cases of the mumps at 57 different Customs and Border Protection detention facilities in 19 different states. This is just one of the many infectious diseases that the illegal aliens that are crossing the border are reportedly carrying. While the CDC insists the best way to combat the mumps is to administer the MMR vaccine to everyone, this controversial vaccine, listen to this, is not being offered to detainees, according to the report. This means that even as school children in places like California are being forced to receive the MMR jab in order to attend classes, illegal migrants who enter the country illegally are coming in unvaccinated and spreading diseases via migrant holding facilities. And in a lot of cases, as we have seen, they are rushed off in helicopters and buses to other areas of the state and given basically order to appear papers 2 and 3 years down the road. They go on to say here, the CDC, this is what they say, in general, due to the short-term nature of CBP holding, which is basically the Customs and Border Protection holding, and the complexities of operating vaccine programs, neither CBP nor its medical contractors administer vaccinations to those in custody, a spokesperson from the CBC is quoted as saying. So as just irony at its best. So as they're telling you, there's nothing to see here. Your child has to be forcibly vaccinated if you want to enjoy public school system that you pay for through your property taxes, and you're being forced to have your child administer these vaccines. The individuals that are coming into the country illegally and they're being detained and are showing positive for measles, mumps, or rubella are not being given a vaccine because the complexity and the short-term time at the detainee facility, they're not being given these vaccines. Does anybody else see a problem with this here, that they're allegedly telling you the vaccines are the things that are going to fix the problem and they're going to stop the spread of infectious diseases, so you're forced to get them in your unbelievably healthy child, even though you feed them organic and you keep their diet clean and you don't let them get exposed to most things, you're still being forced to give them this vaccine, but illegals who are coming into the country who are showing positive results on the test for measles, mumps, and rubella are not being even given the vaccine that allegedly works because they're not there long enough and there's too much complexities with administering vaccinations. I don't know about you, Dad, but I see a real, real contradiction with that, and it's something that's ironic that nobody has talked about this in the mainstream media whatsoever.
We've got to keep the illegals healthy enough to breed.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah, I just said it, didn't I? We have to make sure they don't get Gardasil. We got to make sure they don't get MMR. We don't want them all having autism. We have to make sure that they stay healthy enough to breed to increase their population density, increase their population percentage. We have to make sure that the white people go away. But we have to make sure every white kid basically is immunized to make sure that they have all kinds of health problems and then they can't reproduce and they have all kinds of health issues for the rest of their life because of the vaccinations. And so that way they're not going to be wanting to have children or reproducing. Yeah, how about that? Oh, by the way, Catholic school now is banning Harry Potter, citing the risk of conjuring evil spirits with real magic. A reverend in Nashville, that's right, believes the spells in the book could potentially summon demons if read out loud. Are you listening to me, friends? Are you letting your friends read, your children read Harry Potter? Guys, the spells that she put in that book are real. These are real. These are actual real spells that they use in the satanic church. And she knew that. And hence, they allowed her to become a billionaire. Oh, yes, by the way, she's a billionaire. The guy, the lady who wrote this, she's a billionaire. They allowed her to become a billionaire because she pushed their programs and their agenda forward. So, Mike, kudos to this Catholic Church, which has banned Harry Potter, citing risk of conjuring evil spirits with real magic. Guys, I won't let this chump, I won't let these books come in my house. Nope. I remember I forgot one of my kids brought one of them home one time, and somebody gave them at camp, and I said, it's going in the round file. I wouldn't even put it in the garbage can in the house. I took it outside and put it in the can by the garage for the garbage truck to pick up. I wouldn't even let it be in my house. These are real spells, real magic, real curses, real junk they're teaching these children, and it allowed her to become a multi-billionaire. Why did that book get so big? Because they promoted it. Because when they want to promote stuff and they run it through their distribution networks and they start talking about it and pushing it and it makes all the news stories and all the big news channels, they sell the books. I remember when I was on with Neil Borsch, my first book, Maximum Energy. I remember that book sold almost 100,000 copies in bookstores just a couple of weeks when I was on with that massive show. I think he had 700 stations in a simulcast. That's how much they know that these books sell when they put people on big talk show and big promotions like that. They know how to market their stuff and get that information out there. The problem is they can also get the information out there about how to raise all these demons and everything else, these crazy books with these curses in them. Guys, protect your children. Guys, I'm done for the day. I love you. I'm going to pray for you guys in a few minutes. I appreciate you guys so much. God bless you. Pray for your marriages. Pray for your children. Remember, this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Austin, I'll do the write-up, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Yes, sir. Yeah, and I've told many of people I don't allow those movies in my house. I don't allow the books in my house. I did the research on those when they first came out, and it always troubles me how many kids run those books through their house when they're reading them, when they're watching the movies. Absolutely not. I'm not about having any movies in the house or any books in the house that are talking about spells, witches, conjuring up demons, none of that. That stuff is real. It's not a joke, and it's not something you need to have floating around your house. Anyways, guys, intense show today. Thank you again for the support. Gotten a lot of emails. I'm trying to respond to a lot of them. I'm backed up on them right now. We've been really busy this week, so I appreciate the patience. Thank you for that on a lot of these emails. I'm getting to them as fast as I can. Thank you for the support. Be sure to check out the website, the Magnesium Brain Food, on sale for 15% off right now. One of our most popular products on sale for a limited time is Product of the Week. Check it out at healthmasters.com. If you need anything, email us, call us, healthmasters.com. You guys have a blessed, safe, awesome night. Stay sharp, stay prepared, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.